Today's sugya is about whether or not there's ishus and gittin when it comes to nachim. So we're learning the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Mem Alef Amud Beis. The Gemara is talking about appointing a eved or a goy as a shliach. So then the Gemara brings the pasuk that atem gam atem teaches us that ma atem b'nei bris af shluchachem b'nei bris. Just like the mishalach, that if a yid is sending a shliach, we're of course a b'nei bris. So too the shliach has to be a b'nei bris as well. So the Gemara says that, okay, so what's the need? So then what do you do about an Eved? So the Gemara says, and for that reason, since an Eved is not a B'nai Bris, they're not B'taras Gittin V'Kedushin, so an Eved is not allowed to be a Shliach L'Kaba Get. So if I send a Eved to be, an Isha sends an Eved to accept her Get, it's not going to be good because Ein B'taras Gittin V'Kedushin. The Avadim are not in the world of Gittin V'Kedushin. So the Gemara says, "How do you? What does that mean?" So the Gemara, rather, Rashi says, "Alma lo baikra de misvara islehen lemeimar de midei de lo shayach bei lo misabed ale shliach." There's no need for a pasuk for an eved. Once a person such as an eved is not in that world of gittin and kedushin, so there's no need for a pasuk. He can't nothing to talk about. Just like we can never discuss a non-kohen being doing an avod in the base of mikdash. You can't do a kabbalah. You can't do zrika because he's not shayach them. So obviously he can't be a shliach. So too, an Eved doesn't marry and can't divorce, so he can't be a shliach.
I think an Eved has all the halachas like an Isha.
Yeah, but this, almost all halachas, but when it comes to this particular halacha, he can't get married. He doesn't have yichus. So then the Gemara says, okay, fine, I understand that an Eved, la bar heterahu, the Gemara says. And Rashi says, what does it mean, la bar heterahu? Eino b'shum tzad heter, Ashes ish, she'ena megarish, deha ain lo kedushin. So this is a very, very important Rashi. Rashi says that an Eved is not at all subject to the halachas of being matir and ashes ish, because he can't get divorced. Why can't he get divorced? Because an Eved can't get married. Since an Eved can't get married, that means there's no divorce to speak of. But then the Gemara has an interesting line, and this is the key point here. Then the Gemara says, what about a goy? When it comes to a goy, since Obed Kochavim is part of the halachas of Truma, that a goy could be mafresh Truma, so maybe you would think that a goy could be an ashliach. So this is a very ambiguous line right here. The Gemara is not really comparing apples to apples here. It says an Eved's pater because an Eved is la bar hetera, but a goy would be subject to Truma. But what about Kedushin Megittin? We're talking about Kedushin Megittin. So how does it start talking about a goy here, about separating Truma? It's very unclear what the Gemara is talking about here. So does this mean that a guy does have a Kedushin Megittin? Or does it mean it can't be? It doesn't address that question. So Rashi here, when Rashi says that an Eved is not subject to the halachas of Kedushin and Gittin, he's only talking about an Eved, but he doesn't address what's the halacha when it comes to a guy. So that's what we're going to discuss today. Is a guy subject to Gittin and Kedushin or not? So if you look at the Rambam, the way the Rambam reads this, the Rambam number one here says that the reason why a goy can't be an Eved, a shliach, why can't a goy be a shliach? Because he's la b'nei bris in him. But when it comes to an Eved, why can't an Eved be a shliach? Because an Eved is pasul for Kedushin v'gittin. Right? Since an Eved can't get married, and an Eved can't divorce, so an Eved can't be my shliach. So when it comes to a goy, that should be the same reason. Why can't a goy be my shliach? Because a goy isn't subject to the lachas of Kedushin v'gittin. But Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says the reason why a guy is pater from Mishlichos is because he's lav b'nei bris in him. So how come the Rambam ignores the fact that there's no Kedushin v'gittin?
What's the difference between lav b'nei bris and
lav b'nei bris means he's
and that meaning of Torah's Kedushin?
Right, so lav b'nei bris means he's not a Jew, he's not a Yid.
Right.
Lav b'nei Kedushin v'gittin means he can't get married, he can't get divorced.
So an Eved is, in a certain sense,
yeah, in a certain sense, an Eved follows mitzvahs. However, mitzvah is a woman is chayven, an Eved is chayven as well, so he's a b'nei bris. So the guy is both of them. A guy is la b'nei bris, but he's also not subject to Kedushin v'gittin. So how come the Rambam only brings the reason of la b'nei bris for a guy and not the reason of ain Kedushin v'gittin? Anyone have any suggestions there? Now, the simple reason is because la b'nei bris is a more global patur. Lav b'nei bris means that a goy can't be a shliach for any area. If you say that he can't get married, doesn't have kedushin and gittin, that just implies he can't be a shliach for the world of gittin and kedushin. But that would indicate that maybe he can be a shliach for other areas of halacha. That's the simple reason. Now the Prisha suggests something else. The Prisha says actually that a goy can get married and divorced. Why? If a goy is niskayer, if the goy converts, so then he is shayach to get married and divorce. So that's why the Rambam couldn't say that's the patur for a goy, because they are subject to kedushin v'gidin. That's what the Prisha suggests. Now, what's the difficulty with that?
But then he wouldn't be a goy.
Exactly, he wouldn't be a goy, and then he wouldn't be a lav nebris either. You know? It's a very strange suggestion. The same reason why he's saying he's not, he is subject to kedushin v'gidin because he could get converted, so too, he's also b'nei bris because he could get converted. So I'm not sure why the preacher suggests that either. I don't know. But I think the reason is the Rambam says, why the Rambam says a guy is la b'nei brisu, and he doesn't give the reason of la b'nei kedushin v'gitin, because I think the Rambam holds that a guy actually can get married as a guy. He can get married and he can get divorced. So he is b'torah's gitin v'kedushin, according to the Rambam. The only reason why a guy can't be a shliach is because lav b'nei brisnu, because he is not a b'nei bris. That's the
and when you say can get married, you mean to a goy, not the Jewish way.
Exactly.
So the category of committing adultery would be committing adultery according to the Torah if you slept with a goyish marriage.
So we'll get to that in a second about how that impacts us and about a transition in just a second. But just right now, just that, what I think the suggestion is going to be is that, well, I know what the suggestion is, that a goy actually can get married, does have kedushin v'gittin, and the only reason why a goy cannot be a shliach is because he's lav b'nei brisnu. Yeah, Ben, you had a question?
No, it's just maybe it means that if we recognize it as marriage and kedushin, as it would be by a guy.
That's right.
Yeah.
Not by us.
Exactly. For sure. Yeah, that's what we'll see. But according to Rashi, the way Rashi says it here, even though Rashi's so talking about Eved,
so it doesn't come with all the restrictions necessarily that are kedushin.
Correct. We'll see exactly what it means. But according to the Rashi, Rashi says again, the line is Eino b'shum tzad heter eshizis. She'enu megarish de'ein lo kedushin. There is no kedushin at all, categorically, when it comes to a goy. Even a goy to a goy, there is no kedushin. Lefi the simple understanding of Rashi here. Well, according to the Rambam, he doesn't say anything about ishus yet. But again, that would explain if we could prove that the Rambam holds that there is ishus for a goy to a goy. That could explain why the Rambam doesn't say la b'nei kedushin v'gitin for the goy, because they are.
And what isn't it one of the Sheva Mitzvahs?
No.
So just that they can't be immoral.
Exactly.
Not that they get married.
Exactly. So
I'm not saying that suggestion. Number 8, you say, well, that you say that.
Yeah, but then look at number 9. We'll get there. We'll go through the Rambam now. So
that makes no sense. And you don't have to go into it where Jews are supposed to be example for the world, but the world doesn't have to do it.
Right. So we'll we're not going to address that.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Fine. So let's go now to the Gemara number 3, which is really at the top of page number 2 here. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Nun Beis. Gemara Sanhedrin on the top of page number 2 says, Tanu Rabbanan, Ish Prat Lakatam. Gemara is quoting the pasuk about Ish is Ish, that only an Ish as opposed to a Katan. So if a person is with a married woman, so if she's married to a Katan, there's no din of Ishes, because a Katan can't really get married. And then the pasuk says, Asher Yinaf as Ish is Ish, Prat Le Ish is Katan, find Ish is Re'eyu, Prat Le Ish is Acher. The halachas of Ish is Ish, being with a married woman only applies to an eshes re'eyu, a wife of a friend, as opposed to an eshes achem. So what does it mean, an eshes achem, whereby there is no is of eshes ish? So it says Rashi, le'eshes achem, nachri. So we learn from here that she'ein kedushin le'nachri, says Rashi, there is no kedushin for a nachri. That means, according to the simple understanding, being with an eshes ish of a guy, there is no iser involved because we don't acknowledge their relationship as being a relationship. There's no kedushin, there's no ishus, there's no marriage. So what Rashi says in Sanhedrin, ain kedushin lenachri, that's exactly what he says here in kedushin as well. Where I'm going to keep going back to this Rashi, that's why we're doing this. He says, deha ain lo kedushin, a nachri does not have kedushin. So that's Rashi Shita, there is no ishus for a nachri. Now, that being said,
does that mean it's not ours, or it's not at all?
It's not at all. So Tosa says the same thing. Now Tosa, though, addresses something. He says, even though there is no ishus for a nachri, there is no marriage, he acknowledges that there is some iser involved from our perspective. There is some iser involved, even though it's not an ishus iser. It's another iser. He doesn't tell us what it is, but from the fact that the Gemara tells us in Kedushin, there's a concept of ishus yifas tawar. If the Jews are in battle and they see a very pretty, or even not pretty, non-Jewish woman, and they take her captive, so he's allowed to marry her. But you need a pasuk to permit that marriage. And the pasuk says not only if she's single, but even if she's married, Even if she's married, that soldier is allowed to marry her. She's already married to a non-Jew. So if we acknowledge, once we have a heter of marrying a non-Jew, in this case, who cares whether she's married or not? We say we don't acknowledge her being Ishus in their world. So Tosafot says, from the fact that you need a special heter, that you're allowed to marry even an Ishus, Ifas Torah, who is already married to a non-Jew, the fact that you need a heter indicates that there is some Isser involved. Now that Isser doesn't tell us what the Isser is. But the Isser to marry a non-Jew, an Ishus, Ifas Torah, who is already married, is some Isser, but it's not an Isser of being married. There's a different Isser involved in that. What is that Isser? The Tosa says that Isser is a Davak B'Ishto. The Pasuk says in Parshas Bereishis, Davak B'Ishto, when you find a wife, you're supposed to stay loyal to her, and Lo B'Ishis Chaver, and not to some other person's wife. So the Gemara says, so based on that, that's the Isser. It's the Isser of Davak B'Ishto, about that loyalty that a husband and wife have, even as non-Jews. Not that they're really married, there is no Ishus in the world, but there is some commitment that they have to each other. So therefore, if a Jewish soldier is in battle and he sees a lovely non-Jew who he takes captivity, he's only allowed to marry her because of the pasuk. But had it not been for the pasuk, it would be a violation of v'davak b'ishto, that there's a certain commitment that they have, and you can't be davak to someone else's wife, even a non-Jew's wife. But we see from all of these opinions that there is no ishus, there is no marriage for a goy. It's only because of another Isser of Davak B'Ishto. But we don't acknowledge your Ishus as being an Ishus. Now the Ran says differently. The Ran writes in number 7 here. The Ran says, wait a second, Rashi. Rashi says that there is no Ishus at all for the non-Jew. The Ran says, I'm reading the bold right now. Afa pi she'eino niknes lo b'kesef, niknes lo b'be'ila. When we say that there is no Ishus for a non-Jew, what that means is they don't get married the way that we get married. They don't have kesef, they don't have shtar. When it comes to nivela, when it comes to bia, that they have, of course. It's just not in the proper way. Not the same way that we have this concept of marriage. But yeah, certainly they have a marriage. That marriage is accomplished through one derech. They only have one way, through bia. They don't have kesef and shtar. Kesef, we know, what's the source of kesef? Based on various psukim, the first daf in Kedushin. So we have ki kach ishus isha, and we have a bunch of psukim that tells me that ki kach kicha means kesef. We have a special exercise because of that we're allowed to get married with Kedushin. How do we know Shtar works? Because Shtar.
Kedushin with Kesef.
With Kesef. And how do we know Shtar works? Also based on Psukim. So that's for us, that we have a special Pasuk. We could get married in those two ways. But they don't have the Pasuk for Kesef. They don't have the Pasuk for Shtar. But they do have a Pasuk of Bia, and Ran quotes that source. It says Bulas Baal. It says the concept of Bulas Baal regards to a Nachri. So they could get married through Bia. So they can create Kedushin. It's just... it's limited how they could create the Kedushin.
Where
but they do
the
have Ishus. It's a
Pasuk,
I think it appears in some of Parshas Bereishis. I think maybe with Avimelech and Avram, I think, right? That's where it comes up. So they do have a concept of Kedushin.
Yeah, they talk about it all the time over there.
So they do have a concept of Kedushin, just not our type of Kedushin, but they can create Ishus. So if they have Ishus then, if we do now acknowledge two non-Jews getting married as a good marriage... so then, if a man were to be with the wife of a non-Jew, it should be an Isser v'Ishus Ish, because now we're acknowledging that there is Ishus involved. So that's what the Ran says at the end of number 7. There's a Gzeiras HaKasav who lift Torah Yisrael. There's a Gzeiras HaKasav, you're right. It should be natural that there should be an Isser to be with a Ishus Ish, even of a non-Jew, because we acknowledge their marriage as being a real marriage. But there's a special pasuk that excludes us, which is a Gzeiras HaKasav, without understanding why. It says, Eishes Re'ehu is Aser. Only a wife of a Jew is Aser. But the Eishes of a Ben Noach is not Aser. It's a marriage, but we don't get the Isser of Arayos for it. Special Gzeiras HaKasav. So, again, there's perhaps an Isser involved, but not the Isser of an Eishes Ish. Not a one of the Arayos. It would be a violation of Davak B'Ishto, but wouldn't be a violation of Eishes. Of an Ashes Ish.
Based on the Gzeiras HaKasav at the bottom bold is where? Where is that?
The Ran.
No, where is he getting it from?
This is his understanding. That's his Chiddush. That's the Chiddush of the Ran. That even though that there is Ishus, that there's marriage when it comes to a Jew, rather a Goy to a Goy, even though that is a marriage, when it comes to our perspective, we would get Pater, we would be Pater for being involved with an Ashes Ish of a non-Jew. Special Gzeiras HaKasav.
I know where it says HaKasav. What is it? It has to be written somewhere.
That's the Ran?
The Ran says this, yeah.
It's not
a lot, is
it? It's not. He's saying it's not an Isser deraisa in that there's a Chiyamisa like there would be for a non-Jewish woman, rather a Jewish married woman, but it wouldn't, again, it, for an Eishes Ish of a guy, it wouldn't be one of the arayos for a Jew to be involved in, but it still would be an Isser of Davak B'Ishto. The severity of the Isser wouldn't be as much, according to this Ran.
Anytime it says a Gezeris, a Kasev, it's written somewhere that he takes it from.
Yeah, the Pasuk says Eishes Re'ehu. Eishes Re'ehu, but not Eishes Ben Noach.
Where is that?
It's a Pasuk that appears in Achrei Mos Kedoshim, one of them, I forget which one. So what comes out from the Ran versus Rashi is that the Ran holds that there is Ishus when a goy marries a goy, but according to Rashi, there is no Ishus at all. Ein Kedushin Lenachri, the Fi Rashi. So there, that's the Machlokas, is there Ishus for a goy or not? Now let's move to the Rambam that Ezra quoted before. The two Rambams that seem to be so to each other. The Rambam in number 8 here, Hilchos Melachim Perek Ches Halacha Gimel, the Rambam writes that Ein Ishus Yifas Torah Muteres. The Eishes Yifas Torah is not mutter, Ela B'Shas HaShivya. The only time you're allowed to marry a non-Jew is during war, during battle. If you take her captivity, are you allowed to marry her? And Shenamar, as the Pasuk says, Ra'isa B'Shivya, you see her in her captivity. And Rambam goes on to say further, Bein B'Sula, Bein B'Ula, Bein Eishes Ish, She'ein Eishes La'akum. Whether she's single or not single, whether she's married, Eishes Ish, She'ein Eishes La'akum. Since we don't acknowledge the Eishes, so you're allowed to marry Nashis Yifas Torah Bishas HaShivya, because we don't acknowledge their Ishus. So there's no Ishus for Nakum according to the Rambam. But then if you move to number 9, the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisurei Bia Perek Yudal Halacha Yutes, that Avadim Shenishtacharu, Avadim who are freed, Harehein Kigerim, they're like a ger. Kol She'asu L'Gerim, Asu Lehen. Chol Mutu L'Gerim, Mutu Lehen. Fine, we don't need that right now. Now, no sin adam l'shivchas l'avdo. A person could give a shivcha to his eved, or levin chaver, or could give a shivcha to the eved of a friend. And the most shivcha achas l'shnei avadim, you could give one shivcha to multiple avadim l'chachila. Ve'inat shivchem shem davar, you don't need any type of acquisitions. El harehein kebeimos, you treat the avadim and shivcha as animals. The shivcha shehim yuchadis l'eved, o she'enom yuchadis achasi. Whether shivcha is designated for one particular eved or not particular eved, we're not really concerned, because lefi shein ishus ella liyisrael ola akum al haakum avalo laavadim al avadim lo laavadim al yisrael. So what does he say? There is no ishus for avadim and shivcha. So you could mix and match the shivcha be with this eved and that eved. We don't really care about the eved and the shivcha, because there is no ishus for an eved, but there is ishus only for us and also for an akum to an akum. So the Rambam says in Hilchas Isir Bia that there is Ishus for Nakum, but he says in Hilchas Mlachim there is no Ishus for Nakum. You guys see that stira? So how do you answer this stira? No suggestions? How do we deal with this?
When the person is a slave, could the Akum be a slave?
When it's talking about Ishus, it's talking about Kedushin, meaning like marriage that a Jew has with a Jew, with all the halachos involved that a non-Jew can do. But in the second Rambam, it's just talking about the concept of, well, you would call it marriage, two people being two people together. So that, you could say that two non-Jews can have that concept of being married, that one is basically only allowed to be with the other. But the first one is talking about real kiddushin, or marriage with halacha involved, which is only...
I'm not so sure if that's the... I'm not sure that reads clearly here in the Rambam, because he says, ain't ishus l'akum across the board. He doesn't suggest anywhere that he's referring to how to get married here. I think the key is the Rambam, the context that we're talking about, and whose perspective. What? No, because he says again as a statement, l'fisha ain't ishus l'akum. I think the difference is our perspective versus their perspective. Meaning what? The Rambam...
In ishus, there's no ishus in the way that we, the halacha determines that we.
With our perspective. So not the way we do it, but not what Josh was suggesting, that they don't have to do the same halachas as we're doing, but I think it means with respect to our understanding. Meaning what? Rambam holds in the Isur Bia that they really do have marriage. They can get married to each other. And that's something that we acknowledge. When it comes to Eishes Yifas Torah, we're talking about how it relates to us. So when it comes to our relationship to them, we don't acknowledge their Ishus. So the fact that they're married would affect their relationships, and they have to be loyal to each other. But when it impacts us, as a soldier, the Eishes Yifas Torah, we don't acknowledge her Ishus, and we say, Ein Ishus La'akum, therefore, regardless of whether she's single or married, once it's a het of Eishes, once it's a het of Eishes Yifas Torah, then we're allowed to marry that Eishes Yifas Torah, regardless of if she's single or not, because for us, we don't acknowledge our ishus. But in their world, we draw a circle around them. In their world, there is. We acknowledge that they do have an ishus for themselves in their world, and they have to be loyal to each other. That's the difference, I believe. So we see from here, though, at least.
In a society, if a particular society doesn't hold from that.
Doesn't make a difference. The whole Torah tells us, according to the Rambam's understanding, that they can get married to each other and the marriage is binding.
No, I'm saying if society doesn't have the concept of marriage.
Again, doesn't make a difference, as I said. Doesn't make a difference. The Rambam holds that they have ishus.
Ishus based on what?
I mean, based
the
on
the Dabak?
There is no Dabak. They're not Dabak.
They're not following the Torah. That's fine. They're not following that, but they're doing the wrong thing. They have to listen to the Torah. Ben Noach have to listen to whatever they're commanded to listen to. And this is one of the things. The fact that they're not listening is not going to change the halacha.
You just finished saying, I think, what I heard you say is that there's a concept of ishus in their world, whatever that means. So in their world,
no, you understand me? No, not true.
I mean, ishus now means that two gay people can get together. So.
No. You mean no? Again, you misunderstand what I'm saying. They have to follow the halacha. The way Torah dictates, our Torah tells us what they have to do.
So there is a consideration. So it's not a question of ishus in their world. It's an ishus in our world.
Right, we don't
No. How it relates to us versus relating to themselves. The Torah says in their world, they have to acknowledge each other as being, it's a good marriage. When it comes to affecting us, though, so then no issues. All right, you don't like it? Okay, I'm sorry. Fine. So anyways, we say from the Rashi says that there is no ishus, there is no marriage, but the Rambam and the Ran say that there is ishus, they can get married to each other. Just the way it relates to us, we don't acknowledge our ishus for us, and it doesn't impact us. So once it's a heter of ishus yefas Torah, so we don't care whether they're single or not, ishus yefas Torah is a heter for us entirely, even if they are married. Because again, for us, we don't acknowledge our ishus, but for themselves, they must follow the halacha of the Torah, and the Torah tells us that when they get married, they must remain loyal to each other.
But you're saying it's a heter across the board as opposed to war?
One second.
The minute the soldier takes them into the house, that's it. It's their ishus, we don't consider their ishus at all anymore.
Once they get married, well, according to all opinions right now, both the Rashi says they have no ishus, and the Rambam also says they have no ishus. As it relates to us. So once you get married, they become, it's a conversion process. Ashes Yifas Torah. So once they convert, they become the soldier's wife.
But you're using the Ashes Yifas Torah as the source, but that seems to only be in war, but you're saying it's across the board?
Exactly. There's no other area that we find two areas, we'll see. What other areas do we have that's going to impact us, their marriage? So Ashes Yifas Torah is one area where it affects us as a Jew. The other area where it affects us is if a Jew is with a Ashes Ish of a non-Jew Ashes Ish. That's the other area. So we already saw above that there's no Isser involved in that. Prat le Ashes Acherim. We said the only Isser of Ashes Ish is Ashes Ish of Re'eu, but not Ashes Acherim. So that's another area where it's not us, it's us, because we don't acknowledge their Ishes as it relates to us.
So you're saying that Gezeiras HaKasuv extended that law to everything, not just war.
That extends exactly to every area where it impacts us. We don't recognize their ishus, how
not
it relates to us.
War,
exactly.
By that, because Eris Akasov, you told me that it's either an Acharei Mos or
exactly,
something.
Exactly. Okay. So now the Gemara says. So look at number 10 now. The number 10 quotes a halacha. And the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Nun Zayin Ki Asa Rav Dimi Amar Rav Rabbi Eliezer Amar Rabbi Chanina Ben Noach Sheyichad Shivcha LaAvdo Ubala Neragala Leha. Ben Noach, let's say, sets up his Eved with a Shivcha. Now they're married to each other, and now the Ben Noach is Bala, has relations with this Shivcha, so he gets killed. So the question is, why is he getting killed? What did he do wrong? So just basic fundamental point when it comes to the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, that the halach is Azarasan Zuhi Misasan. Whenever they violate any of the Sheva Mitzvot, they get killed. That's what the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin.
But you said that the Shivcha wasn't, they were considered Behemoth, so they weren't.
Excellent. Very, very good.
No marriage, right?
No marriage.
Very, very good. So let's see why they get, very good. Why are they getting killed? Very good. Why are they getting killed? So Rashi says the reason why they're getting killed is number 11, Nerag Alav Mishum Gezel. You stole. There's no Isser of Ishus here. Rashi says there's a Gezel, there's a Gezel that's going on here.
It's his property.
Because they designated it. Once he designated this woman, this Shivcha, to that Eved, Rashi thinks it's a violation of Gezel. Just read the rest of Rashi here for a second in number 11. V'yafal pish ein zubulas baal, the Ishus, Even though it's not really Bulas Baal, because Rashi holds in general that there is no Ishus for a Shivcha and an Eved, and for all Goyim, there is no Ishus in that world according to Rashi. It's still, once you have a claim on a certain woman, that relationship, it's a monetary claim, if you will.
Yeah, you
so you're staking away. It's an Isser of Gzela, not an Isser of Ashish.
You just told me they didn't have the Kesef thing. Now you're telling me they have the Kesef thing. We went through it before, and you said they could get married by Bia, but not by Kesef. Now it sounds like it's...
Yeah, no, not that they buy each other, but they could make a commitment. Just they took a level of ownership. They could also buy...
But
they could buy certain things, though.
You could take the Shibchan and give it to someone else.
Ah, it's a very good question. It's a very good question. How could you do this? According to this... So it's possible the Rambam doesn't hold this. I mean, Rashi doesn't hold this. Very good question. The Rambam was the one who held you could move Shivcha to that person, and this, David, very good. It's a very good question. But I'm not sure how the Rambam reads this. We'll get to the Rambam in just a second. But the Rashi holds, Rashi cannot think of there being an Issef Arayos here. Because Rashi holds that there is no Ishus. When it comes to the world of Goyim, there is no Ishus. There's no marriage. So the only violation the Rambam, the Rashi could think of is a violation of Gzela, taking away someone else's Shivcha. It's an Issef Gzela, because there is no Ishus in that world.
The Eved isn't Nikneis. He can't buy something for himself.
Correct.
Have ownership.
Correct. So the way we're learning from here is that if the Adon designates the Shifra for the Eved, that designation is enough to have some level of commitment to each other. Even though he's not the one doing it, if the Gemara says when the Eved, when the Ben Noach is Miyachid this Shifra to that Eved, that's enough of a commitment to each other.
Could it be that the Ben Noach have a different maybe we're looking at it from the perspective of Rehu, we're not looking at it from the perspective of Ben Noach. Maybe it's like concept of Noach have a different issue when it comes to Shivcha and
So and saying from our perspective, what are you suggesting?
From a Jewish perspective, we don't have an issue with this at all.
Correct.
Right? But from a Bnei Noach, maybe they have a different
right, and then therefore what? What's the next step?
So maybe Bnei Noach doesn't have an issue of Gzela, or maybe they do have an issue of Gzela because they have a different set of rules.
Right, but the fact that the Rashi uses Gezela and doesn't say an Issev Arayos tells us that the only commitment of an Eved to a Shivcha is some level of monetary commitment to each other as opposed to a Ishus, a Kedushin, a marriage with each other. Because, again, I think Rashi's Lashitaso, that he doesn't think that there's ever marriage in that world.
Right.
Whether it's between Goyim, whether it's between Eved and Shivcha, it's never marriage, it's just to some level of commitment to each other, which at worst is going to be a violation of Gezela. If a man is with a married woman who's non-Jewish, or married Shifcha, to or whatever marriage means for them, that would only be a violation of Gzela, but it wouldn't be a violation of Arayos, because it's not an Isser.
So that would be an Isser for Bnei Noach, but would it be an Isser for us?
Right. Seemingly, from our perspective, it wouldn't be an Isser for Arayos, it might be an Isser of Gzela for us.
Isn't it Isser for your wife? Isser. Or are you saying if
you're
single, you're not married?
No Isser, married. No Isser for a married man, but not for now. Okay.
Why is it called for using Vidavar?
Oh, because it's not limited to one woman.
If we're using that, it also says, calls it Isha by Bnei Noach. It also says that they went into the table of Noach, born of Ishto. It calls him, uses the Lashon of Isha, of his wife.
Yeah, but that's how you speak. It's an Isha, it's a wife. But it doesn't mean we acknowledge it as being a real halachic relationship, though. How else are you going to call her?
I'm saying
Isha means a woman.
And once when you use the davak, is also then the davak, then using the davak is also in the Lashon of Isha.
Yeah, but they're saying that davak Isha is not the same level as a real Isha, though. Davak Isha is an Isser, I'll say. Isser, you have to stay committed to one's wife and not to someone else's wife. That doesn't indicate that there's real marriage involved. Even though the word Isha is being used, doesn't mean that there's Ishus there. This is what the Tosfos says.
Yeah, I think that's like this week's parasha with love one. There seems to be making a marriage ceremony.
Same with Yaakov. Which is fine. It's a wonderful thing. So the question, because for them, Yaakov was keeping the halachas, so he kept the Torah. So in that perspective, so it's a good marriage. He kept all the halachas. He kept the Torah. Or you could say, even if he didn't, so that you could say, of course they have marriage. Just because they get married doesn't mean we acknowledge it as being a marriage, though.
I'm thinking from the Torah's perspective. The Torah is seemingly making it.
Right, so then if you're going to say that, so then it means Yaakov was following all the halachas. He kept Shevet Brachos, it says.
Yeah. Okay.
Now look what the Rambam writes in number 12. Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim Perek Tes Halacha Ches, Ben Sheyichad Shivcha Le'avdo Uva Aleha. So Ben Noach, even though the Rambam says before that an Eved doesn't have to be loyal, Shifcha could be with multiple Avadim, if a Ben Noach is Meyachidim, designates, doesn't say, okay, have a child with this person, a child with this person, but he's Meyachid, the Shifcha, to a particular Eved, and then the Ben Noach is Bala, has relations with the Shifcha, he gets to get killed. Why does he get killed? Because Mishum Eishes Chavera. Now that's different than the Rashi. He doesn't say because of Gzela like Rashi. Rashi says Gzela because Rashi doesn't think that there is Ishus in the world of the Goyim, in the world of the Avadim. But the Rambam holds that no, there is Ishus. There is Ishus between non-Jews. And even could be an Ishus with Eved and a Shifcha. If the Adon designates one Shifcha for an Eved, that's also creating Ishus in the world of the non-Jews. And since it's Ishus Chavero, he gets killed. Because again, the Rambam holds that there is Ishus in the world of the Goyim, Rashi holds that there is no Ishus in the world of the Goyim. So we see, again, Rambam and Rashi l'shitaso. The Rambam holds that there's Ishus as it relates to them. Only if Ben Noach is Baal Leha is he going to get a violation, because in the world of Ben Noach, we acknowledge that their Ishus is an Ishus. As opposed to if a Yid were to be with the Shifcha Eved Kanani, the Shifcha and Eved Kanani, then it wouldn't be a violation, because we don't acknowledge their Ishus being an Ishus. Okay, we're good? Okay. So now the next question becomes, do they have the option of Gerishin? So right now we have a Machlokas Rashi Rambam, whether or not there's Ishus. Rashi says there is no Ishus, and the Rambam says that there is Ishus. So there's this Yushalmi. You look at the Yushalmi, look at the top of page number 3. Yushalmi in Maseches Kedushin says as follows. Harei Lamadnu, we've learned that the Goyim Ein Lem Kedushin. We already concluded that the Goyim cannot get married, which by the way supports Rashi, of course, that there is no Kedushin. Mahu sheyehelam kirei gerishin. Can they get gerishin? Can they get divorced? So Rabbi Yehuda ben Pazi, Rabbi Chanan b'shem Rabbi Chuna, Ruba ditziporin, these are the names, o sheyehelam gerishin, o sheshneem megarishin zedze. He says it has to be one of two options. Either they can't get divorced ever, or what it means is that they both could divorce each other. In the Jewish world, only the husband could divorce the wife, but she cannot divorce the husband. But in the non-Jewish world, he suggests, if there is a divorce, the divorce could go both ways. That just like he could divorce her, she could also divorce him. So that's the suffix of the Gemara in Yushalmi. It goes on to try to prove which way. But there are two options in the Yushalmi. Either they can never get divorced, they're stuck forever, or that he and she, both equally, could do the divorce. Okay, so how do we paskin? Is there a divorce or not? So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Melachim, what? That there is divorce?
Yeah.
So let's see. So the Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim Perek Tes, he writes, we're reading the bold here.
Well, then there's the question of whether it's our divorce or the idea of a divorce, right? It's never our divorce.
Exactly. It's definitely not our divorce. Definitely not one of the Ksav, but it's whatever divorce they have, which is simply a mere l'amos.
Right.
So let's see what the Rambam says, right? So Rambam says, Mei Masaitia Eishes Chavero Kigrusha, when it comes to Nation Chavero of the non-Jews, when do we view them as being divorced? At what stage can they get divorced? So you see already the Rambam acknowledges that there is gerushin for a non-Jew. So kigrusha shelanu. How do you know? At what point are they considered a divorce? Mishiotzianu mibeso mishalchenu laatzmo. Once she leaves his house and she sends him off, sends her off rather, he sends her off. Oh, mishiteitzahim itachas, or when she just walks away, reshusa v'teilcha, she could go off. Sheinlem gerushin b'ksav. They don't have Gerishim Ksar, but they do have Gerishim. So simply just walking away is enough. Just walk away. So what's the Rambam assuming here, though? The Rambam assumes that there's a assumption.
Kedushin.
Exactly, there's Kedushin. The only way you could talk about Gerishim is if there's a first Kedushin in Ishus that we would acknowledge.
Be the same way.
What do you mean?
Just not the Jewish way.
Just the Das way. Just like they can commit to each other. No, not in the way we do, not in a written document or anything else, then they can also...
Exactly.
The
Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Kedushin, Hilchas Ishus, he writes that before Matan Torah, you just find a woman in the street and say, oh, you're going to be my wife, and that's it, you're married, just like that, with an amira, with a certain commitment. And after Kabbalah Torah, we were given Kedushin with Kesef and with Shar and Bia, but they could just commit to each other. So too, the Rambam says you can walk away as well and say, we don't want to stay with each other anymore, it's over. So the Rambam is l'shitaso, that there is Ishus for the Goyim, and that therefore there is also a Gerishin, the same exact way there's Ishus of just agreeing, so too that's the way you end the marriage by walking away.
Does Rashi say anything about that?
So we're going to get to Rashi in just a moment. Now the Chiddush HaRan has a big, big Chiddush. He quotes from one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu David. The Ran says in number 16, Rabbeinu David, I'm reading the bold here, Kasav b'chidushav shekarovhu shenemar sheben Noach ein lo heter li'olam b'gerushin. They never have the heter of gerushin. So what's the Rabbeinu David assuming?
There's no marriage. They're stuck with each other.
They are married. But there's no heter. They're married. Exactly. They're stuck forever.
Right.
So the Rabbeinu David has a chiddush that there is ishus, but there isn't gerushin. They could get married with each other. They can't get divorced. Now that machlokus, whether they have the divorce or not, depends how you understand the gerushin. Really, they both agree that there's ishus. How do you understand gerushin? So he understands that Gerushin is a special din that we were mechadish in the Torah. V'chas of law, the Pasuk says, they don't have that option. Gerushin isn't simply undoing a marriage. It's not just walking away. Gerushin is more powerful than that. It's more powerful than that. And therefore, we only have that option of Gerushin. They don't have that option of Gerushin. It's a sugya, it's a chiddush in Gerushin, how Gerushin works. But now let's go back to Rashi. Rashi says, yeah?
That's why they annul the marriage. They don't hold up the Gerushin.
Retroactively, as if it never happened.
Right.
Okay. Now let's look at Chita's Rashi.
What would be the reason for them ever to get married then?
They want to be loyal to each other.
Forever.
Live with each other.
They can do that without declaring marriage.
Yep.
A lot of people do that now. If the
punishment for it is death, then why what's the benefit?
Taxes.
They love each other and they're committed to each other.
You can do that without having, I mean, haraya.
I don't know. I'm not sure. But let's look at Chita's Rashi now. So Rashi says, we know Rashi, there is no ishus. There is no ishus for a non-Jew. So what would you say about Gerushin then? Well, naturally, what would the understanding be?
There's nothing to speak of.
You don't need for it. So look what Rashi says back to our sugya in Kedushin Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis. Says Rashi, the Dibra Maschil Lav Bar Heterahu, that's around halfway down, this is the Rashi we started off with. Lav Bar Heterahu, Eino Bishum Tzad Heter Eishesis. We're trying to explain why an Eved and also a Goy cannot be a Shliach, because Eino Bishum Tzad Heter Eishesish. They're not involved of ever being a Matir in Eishesish. Sheinu Megarshe cannot do Gershin, Deha Ein Lo Kedushin. That's exactly what Rashi's saying. Since they have no Kiddush in the first place, that means they also don't have the halachas of Gerushin, because there's nothing to speak of. So once a Goy and Eved are not in the halachas of Gerushin v'Kiddushin, that's why they can't be a Shliach. Eino b'toras Kiddushin v'Gittin, according to Rashi. They can't get married, so therefore there's no divorce to speak of. Now we can go back and understand the Rambam. The Rambam says a Goy cannot be a Shliach. Why not? Why can't a Goy be a Shliach, according to the Rambam? What did Rambam say in the beginning, you remember? Labnei bris ninu. So we asked the question, the priest asked the question, why not say because a goy is lav mishum lav v'toras gittin v'kedushin? And now we understand the answer. Because the Rambam holds they are in the halachas of gerushin v'kedushin. The Rambam holds they can get married, and the Rambam holds that they can get divorced. So they are v'toras kedushin v'gittin. The only reason why a goy cannot be a shliach is because they're labnei bris ninu. And that's a special halach of gamatem, ma'atem b'nei bris, af shluchachem b'nei bris. Just like we are b'nei bris, so too the shliach has to be a b'nei bris as well. And let's finish this last piece here about mises habal. So there's a big chiddush in Pnei Yeshua. I'm not going to read this inside. The Pnei Yeshua says that the goy does not have the heter of mises habal. That means if two non-Jews are married with each other and the husband dies, she is still considered married. She's stuck forever. Not only does the Rabbeinu David think that she doesn't have divorce, but she also does not have the heter of her husband dying. And even after death, she is still bound to him and cannot get married. She's not viewed as a widow in halacha. She is stuck. And the Minchas Chinuch says that doesn't make any sense. He says, of course, she has a heter. She certainly has a heter, just like she has a heter of gerushin, so too she has the heter of mises habal. So that's a machlokas. So how do we understand that machlokas, whether or not she has mises habal or not?
She has to convert.
So what's the machlokas here? So they're both assuming, both the Pnei Yeshua and the Minchas Chinuch assume that she's married. So they both assume that there's ishus to her. The question is, will the death of her husband undo that ishus? So.
Well, that's what you find in Italy. You see all these old women that never remarried.
Uh-huh. So they're machped. They learn like the Pnei Yeshua. You're saying, okay, it's fine. So how do we understand this machloka? So this is going to be a different avenue right now. According to Rashi, who says that there's no marriage in the first place, there's nothing to talk about. If the husband dies, of course they could get remarried, because even if the husband's allowed, they could get remarried because there's no divorce, there's no marriage. But in the world of the Rambam, that there is ishus, there's a marriage. So how do we understand Mises Habal? So this is, again, a slightly different topic, but I'll mention it anyways, because it does come up in the Gemara's Kedushin here. It's an interesting chakira that Rav Chanan Wasserman has in his Kovit Shirim. He wants to know, how do you understand the nature of Mises Habal?
Okay.
So here, for Jews. Oh. And whether or not that understanding, will that allow a non-Jew to use that heter as well? So for a Jew, if the husband dies, is that do we assume that Maisa Mises is like a Maisa Matir? When you give a get, it's an action of giving, it's a Maisa Matir. So to Misa, to death, it's considered a Maisa Matir. It's an action that permits it. Or do you assume when the husband's dead, b'mitzias, there's no husband, he's not alive, he's not in this world anymore, so she just becomes a single lady, not because there's any action that was done, but just b'mitzias, he's no longer alive. Of course there's no marriage, you're not married to a dead person. So what's the nafkamina? So the nafkamina is, it's a Trumas Hadeshin, which is one of the later Rishonim, he asks the following question. I mentioned this in the past. The Trumas Hadeshin says, what was the status of Eliyahu Navi's wife? Eliyahu Navi disappeared, he never died, he vanished. So b'mitzias, he's no longer in this world. But at the same time, there is no Maisa Misa that permitted it. So he has a Chakira. What's the status? So if you assume that Misa Sabal is a Maisa Misa, and that's what permits the wife, well, Eliyahu Navi never died. There's no Maisa Misa, so therefore she was still considered married. But if you assume the Heter Misa Sabal is that B'mitzias, he's no longer around, well, B'mitzias, Eliyahu Navi was no longer around. So therefore, his wife would be considered single. So now, the same lines we're saying is followed by for the guy. If you assume the heter Mises Habal is that there's no husband to speak of, b'mitzias, so for a guy as well, so then b'mitzias, there's no husband to speak of anymore, he's dead. But if you assume that Maisa Misa is more of a formal action, like a gittin is a formal action, a formal Maisa, so then it's possible to say, like the Pnei Yeshua, that Maisa Misa, that matir of Mises Habal only applies to a yid, perhaps it doesn't apply to an non-Jew. Okay, so we'll stop here. Next week we're going to discuss the concept in general of Ein Shlichus Lagoy. We just proved today that there is no Shlichus Lagoy. Next week we're going to get involved a little bit further, that there are some areas where we do acknowledge that there is Shlichus for a Goy.
That would be the same.